York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, look at that. Here we are. Welcome to the big radio show. Happy Monday. Isn't it great? Isn't it just great? I was telling my wife over the weekend, I said, wife, it's funny how 2 days have just flown by. Because I was comparing them to the previous weekend when we had 4 days off. But in any case, I'm so glad to be here. I'm glad you connected. It is Monday, the 6th of December, year of our Lord, 2021. My name is Tom Sullivan. So we've got a lot to go. It's a very busy Monday. And I'm not quite sure where to start, but I think the big cage rattling that's going on today isn't about today necessarily. It's about tomorrow. And there are many angles and dangles to the story about the fact that President Biden is going to have a Zoom call with President Putin. That's tomorrow. Don't have the time. I don't know. What time do you want? Why? You want to get in on the Zoom call? So there's all kinds of stories about the fact that about China, about Russia. There's just a lot of China. There's a headline, Wall Street Journal, China is seeking their first military base on the Atlantic coast over in Africa. And so there's, oh my gosh, he's going to be in Africa. So they're doing what we have done, is we have put bases strategically around the world. And looks like they are too. But the phone call tomorrow is, remember, he had a, when, what day was that? It was last week when President Biden had a Zoom call with President Xi. And they did not really accomplish anything other than a bunch of nice diplomatic words about we need to make sure that we all have harmony, we get along, world peace, rah rah rah. So tomorrow this is teeing up President Biden versus President Putin. Just which one, if you just landed from outer space and they showed you a 30-second clip of Vladimir Putin and a 30-second clip of Joe Biden, what would your impressions be of the two men? So Putin's been doing this now. He's been in charge over there for 21 years. He doesn't plan on going anywhere. He's basically the dictator in charge. And that's what he does. And he has, we all know, we've all seen or read or heard about his plans to when he was in college. He wrote about the Mother Russia. And when the Soviet Union broke up, he was a KGB officer. And he has said many, many times, and he has written about the fact that he, his goal, his desire, the one thing he wants to do in his life while he's still got a life is to do this, put Mother Russia back together again. In other words, the old Soviet Union. Well, who was part of the old Soviet Union? Yes, that would be Ukraine. So Ukraine, I brought this up when there was the big stink about Donald Trump and his phone call to the Ukrainian president. And the fact that I said at the time, I said, so why are we so concerned about Ukraine? So today I'm watching, and it's kind of a deja vu of they're showing on all the television networks today the satellite image photos of the buildup of Russian troops and missiles and tanks, and I mean the list goes on and on and on. The stories all seem to agree that there is 175,000 Russian soldiers on the border right across the line from Ukraine. Now, they already took part of it. They took Crimea. Nothing happened. They took part of Ukraine, the eastern part. Nothing happened. And who was it that was going on? It was a Republican that was going on about, see, nothing happened. I mean, President Obama did nothing about that, and President Biden is part of that Obama. Biden, nothing's going to happen. And he failed to mention when Vladimir Putin marched into Georgia, George W. Bush did nothing. So this isn't about right versus left. This isn't about a Democrat versus a Republican. This is about the wishes and desires of Vladimir Putin, who is ruthless in the way that he runs things. He doesn't have to worry about making everybody happy. He doesn't have to worry about following UN regulations. He doesn't care. And he's blatant about he doesn't say it, but it comes very close to just saying, I don't care about you and your rules. I only care about my interest. And my interests are to put Mother Russia back together again with all of the countries that used to be part of the great Soviet Union. That's his thing. The man is passionate about it, and he's driven. He's energized. So what do you think's going to happen tomorrow when Putin and Biden get together on the Zoom call? Now, the president, our president, President Biden, is speaking today with our European allies. Yeah, they're going to all be on the phone. They're going to be doing their diplomatic wringing of their hands. And so he's going to talk to them about, what do you think I should say? What do you think I should do? It's interesting to watch what is going on. I want to jump ahead on some of these cuts I've got on this topic today. I think General Jack Keane spells it out better than anybody. Let's start with Cut 16. Here's General Keane saying that our adversaries will look and have figured out this is the time to take advantage of our country.
Well, I think it's largely accurate. I mean, there's a growing consensus among those of us who spend our days in national security and foreign policy that the United States internationally is playing a weak hand, I mean, in the minds of our adversaries. Our adversaries, certainly, they pursue their national interests regardless of who is in the White House. But they take advantage and see opportunity based on who is in the White House. And all three of these regimes were there during Obama, Biden, when largely in foreign policy and national security, we never really counted any of those three countries. Trump came in, played a strong hand, and counted all three. And though his rhetoric was uneven at times, his policies were dead on in countering their ambitions. Biden has come in. They associate him with Obama, believe that he's probably going to be more of an appeaser, if everything's going to be diplomatic. And I think that has been largely confirmed. And that's why you see an acceleration in their activities and their desire to take advantage of the United States. And certainly that was underscored rather dramatically in August by the collapse of Afghanistan. And when they look through the prism of Afghanistan, what they see certainly is walking away from an ally that we were associated with for 20 years, surrendering a country to the very adversary why we were there in the first place. But more importantly, what they see is flawed judgment. President Biden makes a decision over the objection of his military and intelligence advisors and over the objection of all the allies who were in Afghanistan with us. He owns that decision, and they look at it, and they know it's flawed. So, yes, we're going to continue to see this kind of acceleration because they believe, rather frankly, they can get away with it.
Yeah. In other words, this is a perfect opportunity. Timing is everything. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal today. It's an op-ed that says rogues are on the march around the world. Talking about Russia, talking about China, talking about Iran. Oh, by the way, the talks in Iran, you didn't even know they were ongoing. They have failed miserably because Iran is basically telling John Kerry and the other crowd that have been involved in the Iran negotiations to go pound sand. They've got what they want, and they're doing what they want, and they're not going to play this diplomatic game. Neither is President Xi. Neither is President Putin. None of these people are doing the diplomatic thing. That's what we are doing. Anthony Blinken is, everything's all about diplomacy and strongly worded statements. So I have some observations. I have some questions. One of my questions is simply, I heard William Cohen, the former defense secretary in the Obama administration. He was ranting on MSNBC earlier today about the fact that, we need to send lots of military hardware, lots of military equipment to Ukraine as fast as we possibly can, and we need to do the same for our allies in the Pacific region regarding China. We need to send more military equipment. I'm thinking to myself, I know a number of you call the program over the years and go, the military-industrial complex, I don't know whose payroll William Cohen is on, but that's his answer. What we need to do is order a whole bunch of more tanks and guns and bullets and send those. Do you care about Ukraine? Do you care if Ukraine is back under the auspices of the Russian government? I'm serious. Do you care? 855-295-6600. Be right back.
I want you to know that I love your show. You're inspiring to me.
Thanks. So the headlines are, the world is worried about what Vladimir Putin is going to do. Is he going to invade Ukraine? I would be surprised if he doesn't, but I mean, he's obviously, at the very least, he's kind of puffing his chest and beating his chest going, look at us, we're scaring the heck out of you. Everybody in the world's looking. He's made it very clear he wants all of that back. Ukraine used to be part of Russia, so he wants it to be part of it again. We have a problem in that we told Ukraine after the failure of the Soviet Union, and all of a sudden Ukraine sitting there at their own country, and they had a lot of the Russian nuclear arms and everything else located in Ukraine territory. So we said, okay, you send that stuff back over to Russia. It's their nuclear missiles. You send it back over to them and we will protect you. So here we are again with a promise that we will protect you, very much like our actions in Afghanistan. And the problem with the way that we got out of Afghanistan was obvious now. It's obvious. These countries are going, you're not going to stand by the people you said you would protect. So you're not going to stand by Ukraine. I mean, I'll even more direct. Do you want to get involved? Do you want to send our military over? Do you want to do more than just send bullets? You want to get involved in a war defending Ukraine? Why? Why would you want to do that? Well, actually, there are some good reasons. One of the reasons is because the whole idea of NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, where is Ukraine near the North Atlantic? It's not. But NATO wants to get Ukraine involved because that would be another promise on our part that if any country in NATO is attacked, they attack all of us, and we must all respond. So they're trying to do that. Putin is going, don't you dare become part of NATO. And so if he can stare down the United States and NATO and go into Ukraine and take it over, NATO becomes feckless. And there's nothing more that Vladimir Putin would love than to shut down. I mean, NATO is feckless anyway. But this would be a huge feather in his cap. 855-295-6600. Sam, Reno, Nevada. Hello, Sam.
Good morning, Tom. How are you this morning?
Doing great. What's going on?
So we have to always follow the money. So
yes.
The interest of the Bidens have already been proven that they have money coming from Russia and Ukraine and from China. So how's that money going to fall in his decision-making?
Well, is Hunter still on the payroll? I would think by now they would have cut ties with that. It was so embarrassing. I'm not sure if he's still getting money. But there was a lot of money. Yes, there was a lot of money. And we all played a couple years ago the clip of Joe Biden standing there that he gave the Ukrainian president, 20 minutes or so, 2 hours, something like that. Or he's taking billions of dollars and going home. So we have been feeding Ukraine with lots of money. Do you think that we should be involved militarily? Or do we get to pretend by just sending them a bunch of military equipment, which bolsters the stock market of U.S. defense contractors?
Yeah, that's a hard call. You know, what are our interests? And except, you know, we're walking away from another partner that we've talked to. It just tears us down in the world that way.
Are you surprised? I'm not.
Not at all. I'm not at all. You know, the Bidens do follow the same issues as Obama. And, you know, that's, you know, diplomacy doesn't work.
Nope.
Prime time, all the time, with Tom Sullivan.
Prime time it is. So, Robert Gates, former Secretary of Defense, former CIA director under Bush and Obama, interviewed on 60 Minutes. Here's Anderson Cooper interviewing him.
You wrote Joe Biden was a man of integrity. Still, I think he's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades.
I think he's done a lot wrong.
That's it. I think he's done a lot wrong. Over the last four decades. 40 years of making mistakes. So who's going to be talking to Vladimir Putin tomorrow? Yes, Mr. Mistakes. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Keith in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Keith.
How you doing, Tom?
Good. Doing great.
Your topic today apparently is stiff in the back in Washington, D.C., according to CNN, the Biden administration is not sending a U.S. delegation to the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing.
Don't. You're making me choke up on this. Yes, you're right. What? And by the way, I saw Jen Psaki reading her announcement that we are not going to be sending any diplomats to the Beijing Olympics. And she said it was a strongly worded statement. I mean, it was strongly.
Well,
I mean,
and apparently it is business as usual, I think, with a corrupt Olympic, you know, global Olympic deal, as well as the government's playing this. I think we played it when Russia invaded Czechoslovakia. Wasn't it Czechoslovakia or Yugoslavia during the Carter administration?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that that changed any of our political stances on either side of
it did nothing.
Politics.
For those of you who don't know, Jimmy Carter said, we are not going to the Olympics. We are not going. And that he meant everybody. U.S. athletes, the whole bit. This one is another watered-down, weak effort on the part of Joe Biden, because we are not going to allow any diplomats. U.S. diplomats cannot go to the Winter Games. Do you understand how shocking that is? It's not.
Well,
it would be this. You know what this matters? If you're a diplomat and you were hoping for a nice winter Olympics, you'd be staying in a nice suite in some hotel in Beijing, being fed by taxpayers the whole way, and now you don't get to go? Oh, that's terrible.
It always surprised me when the post office comes up and says they have no money, but they support Olympic endeavors with millions of dollars.
Yes.
So that their delegates can go and view the games on the U.S. taxpayers'
expense.
Yes,
of course. Yes, of course. I saw Andrea Mitchell earlier today, and she was talking about, well, their diplomatic boycott of the Olympic Games. And then she had to, somebody typed up in the teleprompter, remind the audience that NBC is an official sponsor of the Olympic Games this summer, or winter. So don't mess with the advertisers. There's a lot of money involved, I'm glad the athletes are not affected by this. These people train for years to be at their prime when it comes time to represent our nation on the global stage. And yeah. I'm sorry, but I think we should separate the Olympics from all of this. But I'm fine. Good. I'm all for it. What are diplomats going for anyway? Why are they even there? Who cares?
Adds a whole new definition to fun and games in politics, doesn't it?
Well, you get elected and you get primo tickets, you get primo seats, primo hotel accommodations, you fly over to China free. I tell you something, I think they got it right. I got it wrong by not running for office. It's a boondoggle, man. It's one boondoggle after another. Anyway, I can tell you're shaken up by it.
Well, and I had seen this with Olympic athletes in 80 and knew it affected them, but I always wondered all the delegates, all the other people who went that weren't part of the Olympic team and how they were treated. It was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
That's us that's paying for that. So,
yeah. You want to listen to this? This is earlier this morning, before the president announced the diplomatic boycott. Here's Cut 23, Nancy Pelosi. What do you think she's for? Listen.
So honor your athletes at home. Let's have a diplomatic boycott if, in fact, this Olympics takes place. Silence on this issue is unacceptable. It enables China's abuses.
Yeah. So by not sending our diplomats, having a diplomatic boycott, she's calling for it. Biden went for it. That will end China's abuses. No question about it. They're probably...
Human rights will be on a par with us now, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're probably wringing their hands there at Beijing going, now what do we do? So it's it falls under, I guess the theme of the program today is who cares? Who cares if the diplomats go? I don't. I'm glad they're not going. Do you care about Ukraine? Now, there are repercussions because Vladimir Putin is trying to not only take back Ukraine, but he's trying to shut down the whatever's left of the effectiveness of NATO. And I hate to say it, but I'm thinking, when did... Okay, NATO showed up with some troops in Afghanistan, also in Kosovo. But, I mean, are we relying upon NATO or are they relying upon us? Is it another lopsided relationship?
Well, and how much of this will be left at the doorstep of Donald Trump, who wasn't he the one who said, okay, UN, NATO, CETO, all you global paramilitary groups, we're backing away from you. I mean, I thought he had kind of stepped back on a lot of that alliance anyway until they all started putting a little more dollars into the coffers.
Paying their share of the membership.
Yep.
I don't know. This sounds silly, but Donald Trump is in the golf course business. And if you belong to a golf and country club and you aren't paying your dues, they kick you out. You're out. You're no longer allowed to come in. You can't play golf there anymore. Can't have lunch there anymore. So that's kind of the...
And you lose your contacts.
And that's what Trump was looking at. This is a club. We're all supposed to pay our dues. You guys aren't paying your dues, then put up or shut up.
Yeah.
The other... Listen, yeah,
the World
other...
Health
you want to...
All of those groups. Yep.
Here's the other part that is driving me bananas. Is... Ukraine has a lot of the energy that the energy from Russia has to go through Ukraine. I can see why Vladimir Putin wants to grab that again, because he wants to make sure that he has an unfettered access to selling his oil to Eastern Europe for sure, and maybe even Western Europe. So there's always, like the first caller said, Sam, follow the money. Follow the money. Vladimir Putin's doing this for power, and he has customers he wants to take care of. So, anyway, Keith, glad you called. Good to hear from you. No, this whole pipeline deal with Europe is a huge business deal, and it's tied in with this. 855-295-6600.
Just want to thank you. You've been so informative on this issue and also on the financials. You don't get it.
Yeah, so we got a serious, I know, starting on a Monday with serious international conflict and all of that, but here's Cut 14. Lloyd Austin, our defense secretary, was being interviewed at the Reagan Library in Los Angeles, Simi Valley, over the weekend. It was on Saturday. Had some big defense conference there. And Lloyd Austin was there, and he was asked about our commitment to Ukraine.
What happens if Putin does invade Ukraine? What does the U.S. do?
Well, I certainly won't speculate on different scenarios. But again, I would point back to what the president said, in that we're certainly committed to ensuring that Ukraine has what it needs to. Protected sovereign territory.
Yep. Send military hardware. Hello, Lockheed on line 3. Yeah, Lockheed, can we order a couple $100 billion worth of goods from you today? Yeah? Can you get them to Ukraine? Good. Boeing's on line 4. Boeing, can you, missiles and planes, can you send a couple of $100 billion worth of... One more from Lloyd Austin. Cut 17 was asked if he has, people are pointing to the fact that people around the world happen to notice the way we bailed on Afghanistan, and Lloyd Austin was asked if he has any regrets about that withdrawal.
Do you have any regrets about the Afghan withdrawal?
I regret the fact that we lost 13 of our finest at Abbey Gate. I regret that we lost 10 civilians in an errant strike.
Yeah. Good, he got all the proper stuff in there. By the way, on Saturday, we went over to one of our local malls. Had to get some Christmas shopping going. And so I assume the position of finding a comfortable chair. And so they have these big comfortable chairs at this mall. I found one. I sat down. And in front of me is this coffee thing out in the middle of the mall. And so people are lined up for coffee. And they're lined up and they're buying coffee. And out of nowhere, here come two young Marine sergeants, females. And they're in their dress blues. And they get in line. And I'm watching and I'm thinking, okay, when they get up to the front, I'm just going to go up there and just whatever they're ordering, I'm going to buy it. Well, I was right up there to get right up to the line. I start to reach over the rope, and the person in front of them bought whatever it was that they wanted. People love their military. They love their military. So I said to them, why are you in your dress blues today? They said, we have a Toys for Tot event going on here in the mall. I said, oh. I said, no fatigues? No. No, nope, they got to wear the dress blues. So, yeah. I would say Lloyd Austin has a little bit of a regret about the withdrawal from Afghanistan. General Jack Keane responded to what the defense secretary had to say.
Well, I certainly agree with those regrets, but actually the obvious regret, the elephant in the room here, is the fact we surrendered Afghanistan to our adversary, who's going to enable foreign terrorists to find a home in Afghanistan and threaten the American people. That is the fundamental issue here. There was no intent when President Biden made this decision that Afghanistan would collapse and the Taliban would take over. Certainly President Biden didn't want that. Secretary Austin didn't want that. But that's what we got as a result of that decision.
Yeah.
And that has to be the number one regret.
Yeah. You made the decision, and guess what you got? So General Keane goes on talking about there's a lot that we can do regarding Putin. It will be interesting to see if any of that is on the table with the conversation tomorrow.
Yeah, I suspect Putin, who's a master at manipulating American presidents, he's had a pretty successful go at it ever since he took over in 2000. He certainly has made an estimate and a judgment about President Biden and what he's dealing with. He knew who he was in the past. He's had one-on-one dealings with him already. He's going to have another one tomorrow. I think what President Biden is trying to accomplish is lay down a set of consequences that Putin will have to face if he does invade Ukraine or Belarus. And the reality is that we can play a relatively strong hand when it comes to sanctions. We have stayed away from some of these sensitive sanctions, like going after his oligarchs and cronies and where a lot of his money is stored. I'm talking about Putin, who happens to be, if not the richest man in the world, pretty close. Number two, going after Nord Stream 2, we can sanction the execution of that. Even though the construction is completed, we can sanction the fact that its ability to operate effectively. The third thing, and it's really significant, is we go after his oil and gas industry. We've never done it before. Take the gloves off and go after it. And then finally, the Russian banking system operates in the international banking system and uses SWIFT, which is the telecommunication network that drives it. We can shut him down. That would be absolutely devastating to him. So he's going to have this in his rearview mirror if Biden puts these on the table. I have no idea what he's putting on the table, but I'm hopeful he's putting these very tough sanctions on the table. And certainly to make certain there's no other advance from Putin into undermining NATO countries. Remember, Ukraine is not a NATO country. We should take NATO forces and put them in Poland and make certain that they get the message that you're not going any further. You're not going to undermine Poland, which Belarus is doing right now, right. Weaponizing right. Migration, and Putin is enabling it. So, indeed. Yes, we still have a marker to play here, and I hope President Biden plays it strongly and with a sense of resolve and determination.
That he plays it strongly and with a sense of determination. So there are four or five things that General Keane laid out. Some of them you may think a little silly. I don't think sanctions work. Sanctions against oligarchs, they'll get around that. That's not a big deal. But I did like a couple of things that General Keane said. Even though Nord Stream is built, some people keep saying it's not. It's built. But we could go in and through sanctions create havoc with them being able to use that. But that's the deal that Germany cut with Russia. So by doing so, the Germans will not be very happy. To go after their oil business, we've never done it. Are you kidding me? Why haven't we? And then finally, you want to go follow the money. You go into the international banking SWIFT system, you can cripple the banking system from Russia. Do you think Joe Biden will do any of that in that conversation tomorrow?